down one over in the beginning of the visit with J.R. Mountain this Tuesday, rainy Tuesday morning, 19th February, 74. Channel 1 right. Channel 1 over, channel 1 over, channel 1 over, and beginning of the visit with J.R. Mountain this rainy Tuesday morning, the 19th of February, 74. Channel 1 right, and the beginning of the visit was J.R. Mountain this Tuesday, rainy Tuesday, spring morning, warm rain as it came just as he left. The rain came just as J.R. left this spring morning, the wind and the rain right in the south, this Tuesday morning, the 19th of February, 74.
Okay, that's
good for me.
That's
the best place to sit on that tailgate.
Yeah.
Well, I can enjoy it on that tailgate.
Yeah. Now, try that a minute.
That's all right.
Try it a minute.
I'm sitting all right. Give me an ashtray now.
Give him an ashtray. We'll sit here a minute, then we'll go out. Maybe that wind will let up a little bit. It gives me the croup. I've been crooping all morning.
Well, I took two of them capsules. It looked like it ain't codeine. What do you call it that they advertise about? You take six of these here. You take six of these pills and three of them cups of that NyQuil and then that other thing out there on the end. A little pill about so long, about like that, and it looks like it's got the little time drops or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it looks like.
What do they call that? I know what you mean.
I don't know what to call it, but it looks something like that. But I know I had a sore throat when I first got up this morning, which I didn't get up till 9:30.
Oh, you
didn't? And she turns everything off and don't let me know what time it is.
Is that right?
And I just day and that I can't lay.
Yeah.
And but this morning I couldn't lay no way, shape, or form. So I finally got up. Contact.
Contact.
Oh yeah.
Contact. That's what it looks like, but I don't believe it's contact because it worked too quick.
Oh yeah.
In other words, after I had took two of them tablets, I say in less than 15 minutes, my throat wasn't sore at all, nowhere. And it looks something like them contacts.
I say that in less than 15 minutes, what?
In less than 15 minutes, I didn't have no sore throat.
Oh, don't tell me.
That's right. Didn't have none. Dr. Sam, he prescribed them pills for me. Because when I first come out of the hospital, well, I had a little cold.
Yeah.
And I had the sore throat. And that's what he got them for me.
Contact?
No, it's something else that he prescribed for. Then you take Dr. Strange, when he was down there, he gave me some of those, he gave me prescriptions of pills for that charter horse business. Cramp affair stuff.
Yeah.
And you could take two pills and sleep all night long.
She knows what that is, a charter horse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what was bothering you last night.
That's what had me.
It was cramp.
It had me right there.
Right. I never heard of it going up your leg.
I mean, it was right there. It was all right in there.
Right in there in your thigh?
Yeah, right there.
And then kept
going? There's a knot there. In other words, it's still a knot. In other words, you can feel it when you run your hand off it like that. In other words, that right there. It was from right along here to right there. That thing was twice as big as this.
Right there.
Cramp. Just like a cramp.
Let me tell you, I never heard of that. That's a new one on me.
And I can't think of what the name of the pills is, but they was for them things.
Strange? You used to go Strange?
Yes, I used to go Strange. In other words, I believe Strange would have been in practice. I never would have had to have that knee operated on.
Yeah.
I believe he could fix it without it. But what I don't understand is that this leg over here, and that ankle and that foot, and the knee and the shin and everything was one what was hurting. This one over here wasn't hurting at all. Didn't hurt me, but I bet it didn't hurt me 2 hours altogether. But this one over here was the one that was broke up. But this one over here wasn't. But now, this one over here is hurting, and this one ain't. This one over here was hurting last night.
You never see Strange?
No, sir, I don't never see him. I haven't seen him. No, he's in He's in an institution up the country.
Yeah.
Up there where his mother is. You know, he's a dope thing.
Yeah, he's been that, hasn't he?
He's been that all the time.
Yeah.
But they say he's in worse a fix now than he ever was. They keep him locked up.
Locked up?
Yeah. They keep him locked up where he can't go nowhere if they can get a hold of it.
Well, what you used to just, he's handed down there at McIntosh. You could just run by there and let him.
Yeah, I was one of his patients, and I could just go down anytime I wanted to. On anything that happened to him.
Now, that's a long way back, J.R.
Hmm?
That long way back, you could do that.
Well, I could do it in the past year. No, he ain't been gone from down there not even a year yet.
Yeah.
Because, let me see what I had. I had something, I don't know what it was. I don't forgot now what it was I had, but I know that I could go down there and he'd give me some medicine for it. I'd all right.
Hmm.
But he's got no pain pills. You get taking them things regular. The first thing you know, you'd be dope fiend.
Yeah. Well, now that's what these big doctors do. They give you them. They want to give
you. They don't care how much you hurt. I done found that out. They don't care how much you hurt. I ain't supposed to be taking them pills that I got from Dr. Strange's prescription. I take them right on, though. I'm going to take them, too, because as long as anything does me some good, I'll take it. If it don't do me no good, I don't take it. It's just like Emil. Dr. Emil gave me a prescription for some pills that he said it would stop my foot from hurting. It says take 3 a day for a week. And if it don't make you, drunk or you don't feel right, you have to quit taking them. Well, I took 3 a day, just like he said. And it says if you don't feel this pain or this thing coming on you, well, take 4 a day. And I've been taking 4 a day, and they ain't helped me not one bit in the world.
Yeah, that's Emil.
Emil. I'm going to tell him about it, too. It cost me $8.40 for, I think it was a dozen pills.
Hmm.
They ain't helped me not one bit. I thought they were some kind of a pain pill, but they wasn't. I don't know what they are.
They had you over the barrel this last week.
Yeah.
94 to a tune of $94.
$94 is somewhere close to 100.
Why, J.R.?
And but don't you think for 1 minute when I go in there Thursday, I'm going to tell them about that. I ain't got no diabetes. Because that thing that I'm using, is I use it 2 hours before I eat, and 2 hours after I eat dinner, and 2 hours after I eat supper. And it don't show a thing.
Oh. I never heard of that thing. I never either.
In other words, if anybody's got sugar diabetes, I can take that thing and see if they got it.
That's something you buy at the drugstore?
Yeah, a little bottle about that big round. About that high, and it's got 50 of them sticks in there. And you just take your urine, and 2 hours before you eat in the mornings, and put a little urine in about, say, so deep, and just stick that thing in there for 10 seconds and pull it out. And if it's blue, you've got sugar diabetes. And if it's pink, you ain't got it.
Oh.
And you're clear.
I can be a doctor. I could hunt up these people that claim that they got sugar diabetes. And tell them, how about doing this here for me?
Yeah.
I can tell whether they got it or not.
Yeah.
I know good and well I ain't got it. Because now you take, if I had sugar diabetes, since I've been going to him for sugar diabetes now, I've been going to him now, let's see, it was about a month. About a month, man. I ain't lost the first pound. And I've been eating, guess what? The chart called for, like turnips and mustard, and I can't eat no fried meat whatsoever. And it's got to be boiled, it's got to be baked or something like that. Can't eat no iced potatoes. I can eat tomatoes and okra and broccoli and the Brussels sprouts and things like that. I can eat all that, but not like iced potatoes. Fried chicken or fried fish or anything fried, can't eat it. And I've been watching them scales. I looked at them this morning, and it's still sitting on 210. Been sitting that way now for 2 weeks. And if I was a diabetic, I would have done lost 35, 40 pounds. And I know two, three people that's got diabetes. They claim they have. But I still don't believe they have.
Who got it?
You take my wife's sister, Aunt Lock Lucy.
Yeah.
And me and Nola, when we go back to gamble again, well, she can gamble every day, but what we're going to do is just go get her a bottle. Just like that, and let her try it. And if that thing that when you put it down in that urine and it turns it blue or purple, you got sugar diabetes. If it don't, you ain't got it. And mine is negative. Been negative every time, three times a day, ever since I've been going to Himmel.
Well, now, how did you run into them, those sticks?
Mm-hmm. He prescribed them.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he gave me a note. He gave me a note to go to the drugstore and get them pills.
Yeah.
Them pills were $2.35 for about 40 of them. Now, you know good and well that for 40 pills, shouldn't be no $2.35. And that little old bottle with them things in it was only about $2.50, something like that.
And he told you to get that?
Yeah, he told me to get that. But he didn't think I knew. I didn't have sense enough to know how much it was. So I asked him. I said, how much of them pills? And how much of them, that bottle of them things? She told me. And it says on the bottle, whenever you open it up and get one of them things out of it, be sure and put the cap right back on it, right then.
Mm-hmm.
That's keeping the air from getting in there.
Mm-hmm.
And mine's all negative. And whenever I go to him this time, he's going to say, well, did you bring your chart? I said, what's the use of bringing your chart? I said, every time it's been negative. And I said, I think y'all got my blood mixed up with somebody else.
Yeah.
I said, the only thing y'all want is money. That's the whole thing you looking for, is money. $94 in about 3 days, like quick play.
Now, the girl thought you was giving her a hard time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that day, the first day that I went in there, and whenever they put me on the scale, I weighed, I think it was about 215. I think it was around about 215, somewhere along. I'd done lost a whole lot before that. Because me and Nola both had been on a diet for,
yeah,
I don't know, a
yeah,
long time.
Yeah, I remember.
And I was up 235. And so I said to him, I said, I can't turn around on this scale very fast now because I got a bad leg. I just come out of the hospital. And I hadn't been long got out of there when I went over there to have these emeralds to look me over, give me a thorough examination. Wasn't nothing wrong with me nowhere. Wasn't nothing wrong with my heart. Wasn't nothing wrong with my kidneys. Wasn't nothing wrong with my liver. Nothing wrong with me nowhere. In other words, that electrical cardiogram that he gave me, wasn't nothing wrong with it. And I had one over at the hospital, and he knew it. But still, he charged me $32 for another. And he charged me, I think the one time there was $16 and something for examination. And he ain't done nothing to me to mount anything. Took his hand. You take your fingers like that and look at your fingers like that. I said, yeah, I see both of them. One of them's out here and one of them's out here. I can see both of them. He said, do you have to have them glasses? I said, yes, sir. But I said, I can read that chart you got right there without any glasses. And I put them glasses on and lay them down on the table. And read it.
Yeah.
And I said, the only time I have to have these glasses is when I'm looking right at something like that. I said, that's the only time I have to have, but I said, I've been wearing them. And I said, I got used to wearing them. I said, guess well, to have things on is to have them all. I might, ain't never know when I got to look at something right down there right quick, like might be a rattlesnake down there. I couldn't even see it.
Oh, you got it. You can't see up close.
No, I can't see nothing. Taking glasses off. I can't see nothing. Can't see nothing down there. Looks like just like it's the floor down there. I can see my hand, and I can wiggle my fingers back too. I can see it, but it takes all I can do to see it.
Yeah, but off.
Our channel? I see our channel all want to.
Well, I'm done.
And the old gal got me up there on the scale, waving, and she says, "Turn around." I said, "You ain't got to be so snappy about it." I said, "I ain't no hurry about turning around." I said, "I ain't got one leg turn around on no how." And she caught me by the shoulder and pulled me. And did I fell down the floor. See, I didn't have couldn't stand on this other leg. And so that went on with that. And I got back up there on the scale. And she took me in that room and then told me to pull all my clothes off, set my shorts, to take that cartogram thing. And I said, "I just had one of these things day before yesterday. I don't know what in the world I want with another one." But they just in for the money. That's what they, the main thing, they in for the money. And
it don't take long to take in $30.
No, sir. And they had five nurses in that office. Well, you take five nurses in that office, they got to pay them people. Mm-hmm. And ain't no telling how much they're paying them. And you got to pay for it.
Yeah.
So then they got through with him in there that day, and that was about 2:30 when I got out of there. And he told me, said, "Now tonight, don't from 12 o'clock on, you can't smoke no cigarettes, you can't drink none but water, you can't eat nothing. And in the morning at 6 o'clock, you'd be at Patterson and Coleman. That's that laboratory." That's what they told me. Said, "Now you're supposed to go in the hospital." But says they don't have to do that in the hospital. They can do it down there. So I went down there, and
yeah, that's dark.
Yeah, it was dark. And so 6 o'clock next morning, I was there. And I walked in there, and the lady said, "You can just have a seat over there." And said, "Put your paper over here on the table." Said, "The lady been here after a while." And after a while, it might have been 8 o'clock. The woman got there. I said, "You mean to tell me that I got to wait this long to supposed to be here at 6 o'clock, and supposed to be the examination supposed to start at 6 o'clock, and I said, here it is 8 o'clock. I said, I lost 2 hours sleep. I said, I could have slept 2 hours, and then come in here and been in here at 8:10. And so, well, it started off, and I had on a sweater and a long sleeve shirt, and I took off the shirt and the sweater. And of course, they said, "You haven't got to take off, just roll it sleeve up." I said, "I'm getting tired of the rope sleeve." I said, "Just take the right thing off and it'd be out of the way." And they took blood out of this arm to let the water out. And for 8 hours, every 30 minutes, they took a container about that big round, about that long, of blood out of my arm.
That much?
Yeah.
For 8 hours?
30 minutes. In other words, it's 8 hours long, and every 30 minutes. And I said to him after they got it all out and everything, that just that time give up was around about 4:35 o'clock. When I started out, I said, "I'm so darn weak I can't hardly stand up." And I says, "You mean to tell me that you ain't got a gallon of milk for me to drink?" I said, "You ain't got nothing for me to drink? Oh, we'll give you a glass of lemonade." I said, "What in the devil is that?" I said, "I don't know how much money I'm gonna owe you." So whenever I got ready to go, what they done, they give me a quart of they call it lemonade, limeade. That was the heaviest dadgum limeade I ever seen in my life. When you pour a glass full out and you try to drink it, just like drinking crokinole. And I think it must have been crokinole or something. I don't know what it was. They claim that it goes in your veins. And first thing I know, whenever they get through sucking that blood out, it won't be blood, it'll be that stuff that they put in you, that made you drink. Well, they done me that way for every 30 minutes for 8 hours. And the last bottle that she took out of my arm was on this note here, and it was still red. Just as red could get, and I know it was blood. And I said to that woman, I said, "What are you doing with all that blood?" "Well, we are checking it to see if you got sugar in your blood." I said, "Well, it looks like to me that you give me this quart of stuff to drink, and that's supposed to get in my arteries and everything. You're supposed to draw it out." And I said, "I watched you from the time that you took the first bottle full out of my arm, And I said, the last bottle you took out was still red. It wasn't the color of that stuff that I drank. It wasn't yellow, and it wasn't green. I don't know what color it was. But it was supposed to be lemonade. And that was the heaviest lemonade I ever seen in my life. So, well, got that over with, and I walked over and the woman said that'd be $22.50. I said, all right, I'll give a check for $22.50.
For 8 hours.
All day long, lost another day. So, next morning I went back to Dr. Emmel's at 10 o'clock. And when I walked in there, that gal says, are you Mr. Mountain? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. What's left of me? I says, I ain't got much blood for you to play with. I said, they got it all over on at Patterson and Coleman. She said, well, I said, you got to take this here thing, this paper here back down at Patterson Coleman. You got to go down there and take another test. I looked at her and I said, let me tell you one damn thing. I hate to cuss, but I just let it fly. It didn't make no difference to me. It doesn't cost me already anyhow. I said, let me tell you one damn thing. You think I'm going to go back down there and stay all day long and let them suck that blood out of me like a sack sucker? I said, if you want a blood test, of my blood test, I said, you ought to go back down there and get all that blood that they sucked out of me and poured it in the drain. I said, I guess that's what they done with it. Might have given it to somebody. Might have been some of them hoodoos of them Arabs down there that needed it. And you give it to them. And I said, give it to somebody. Sure didn't get it back to me. And she said, no, you won't be down there over 10 minutes. Just want a blood test. And I went back down there. And the woman, she took my finger and she held it and put some alcohol in it, deep like that. And I said, yep, and got a little blood. And she reached up here and she sticked that thing in there and sucked out some more. And said, all right, go over and sit down. I went over and sit down. And first thing I know, she says, about 30 minutes, I guess. She says, all right, Mr. Mountain, says, come back in here and sit down. Come back in here and sit down. She sucked some more out. I said, wait a minute. What are you doing that for? I said, the only thing I was supposed to come over here and get was a blood test to see what kind of blood I got. I said, what's the matter with y'all? Y'all crazy? I said, we starting this same thing all over again? And got to looking at the dadgum farm, and they hadn't even sent the farm over there to Dr. Emmel. That was the same, identical same farm that I had the day before. I see that? Craziest dumb people I've seen in my life.
I haven't tried.
I walked out. I paid them $5 and walked out. I said, that's all y'all need is that little sample, that little check on my finger to tell what kind of blood I got. I can tell you what kind of blood I got. And of course, I don't know, I can't say right now what it is, but it's a rare blood.
Oh.
And I had a card. I said, I'm a member of the 35-gallon club. I want you to understand that. I said, I'm a member of the 35-gallon club. And I says, I'm a member of another 25-gallon club. And I says, I have give approximately 6 transfusions to people right here in this town, first-class people. And I said, blood transfusion, you don't very seldom get to give one of them. And I said, I got a rare blood. And I said, I want you to find out what kind of blood I got and send it over that tray to the doctor, so he'll send it back over here to y'all. Translate it back in two. Boy, they made me mad. I ain't doing it. I'd be mad Thursday when I go in there too. Because he come around and tell me I got sugar diabetes.
Okay.
I'm going to tell him about it. Don't you think I ain't? No, I don't think so either.
That sounds like the same was the experience I had over there, except more so.
Yeah, it does.
Every time they'd send me over there to that lab, them nurses would get it wrong.
Yeah.
They couldn't get it straight.
Couldn't save the life.
Go in there for examination, and the time it got to the doctor, he'd start going into it and asking him what in the world had happened.
Well, he take him on. He jumped on all them nurses that next day that I went over there.
Yeah.
He says, what in the world is the matter with y'all? says, this man has done been in here, and he done had examination, and I done sent him over to that place over there, Coleman and Patterson. He's done had all that. He's over there 8 hours. And says, now here y'all send him back over there again for the same darn thing. Said he won't have no blood at all if he keep on sucking it out of him.
Did you say that?
Yeah. And he really wept on them nurses. I ain't joking. I said, that don't take up that $94 that I spent over
now,
him down yonder.
That cast that you had on there, he wouldn't take it off, so you took it off. How'd you get that thing off?
I took my knife and cut it off.
Just a knife, though?
Yeah, I took my knife and cut it off. He said I couldn't cut it off with no knife. Said I would have had to have a saw. And that saw is a little old saw about that big around. It's got two little old things on each side that goes underneath the cast. And as it goes underneath the cast, it saws it off.
Oh.
But I took my knife and cut it off. I told him so this morning. In other words, just before I come down here, about 9 o'clock, 9 or 9:15, somewhere along there, wife told him, said, you be sure and call up Dr. Sam and tell him you cut that thing off.
That's something.
That's so I took my knife and cut it off.
Let me tell you what we did yesterday. We were just talking all at once. I thought about that motor on that old Chrysler car there. That place there.
That was your power steering.
Power steering. It just, when you turned on the motor, that thing just.
It was flopping back and forth.
Just
flopping
back and forth.
Well, that boat, I say. That ain't no telling how long ago it was that somebody had to take that thing off, and they might have put a new one on it, and they forgot to tighten that bolt. They had to. In other words, that power steering, I don't believe, would have worked like it's supposed to. Did the steering wheel act like it shook?
Mm-hmm.
Any?
Mm-hmm.
But still, that belt was tight. But the thing about it is, whenever you shut the motor off, that thing flopped back. Flop back up next to the motor. And when you cranked up the motor, well, the belt generally had to pull it over there. And of course, it couldn't stay where it's supposed to be at. It was just back and two like that.
Yeah.
It wouldn't hurt to tighten up that bolt just a little bit more.
But I
doubt if you could get that nut off of there.
Yeah.
Because it had been in that one place so long, till I imagine it rusted under there. It might break off. Just tighten it up just a little bit.
Put another bolt in it.
Yeah, put another bolt in it.
I'll tell you what happened. I knew there was a little vibration.
But it's tight there now, but I should have made about maybe a couple more turns on it.
And I was over here at Eddie's, at the shell place where you went, and picked up that little tractor. And I asked him to look at it. Well, he didn't look at it. He says, Ricky, he says,
mm-hmm.
you look at it. Well, he went around there, shaking things, and he found that.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't know anything about it.
Didn't know what to do.
He just let it set.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, he said something. He says, now this will have to be tightened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why didn't he go ahead and tighten it?
Well, why didn't he? Didn't know how to tighten it. I mean, he turned that nut, that bolt down there, and it just turned.
Yeah.
He didn't know it had a nut on the other end there.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't feel under there and see.
Yeah.
But I could slip down there and tell that the head of the boat was over him, and it went down that way, and it had to be something on the other end of it.
Yeah. Well, he could see the bracket.
Yeah, he could see it. No, he couldn't see it.
He wouldn't know
what he was looking for.
Yeah. He could see the top of it.
Well, that could be a such thing. Yes, somebody might have had a block of wood down in that thing.
Oh.
Somebody might have took it out.
Oh.
Might have been a square block of wood. It's a place down that a block of wood could have been a foot.
Oh.
And that would hold that thing tight.
Yeah.
And it might have fell out.
Yeah.
Or somebody might have took it out. They said, well, I wonder what this block of wood is doing. And he just reached down and got it. And pulled it out of there.
You saw it there for a while, like it'd been
mm-hmm.
backed off.
Well, it felt like to me that as many turns as I made on it,
yeah.
Well, somebody had backed it off for some reason or another.
Yeah.
And when they backed it off, well, it was loose.
When they backed it off, they wouldn't get...
I guess they got tired of backing it off, and it just didn't, the nut never did fall off.
Yeah.
So he just left it there. Ain't no telling, there's some peculiar mechanics in this world.
Yeah,
they don't have put nothing on.
Yeah, they have. You know, I got to I got to thinking about that battery there on that little Ford tractor, J.R.
Mm-hmm.
You practically had to remake that place.
What did? I found a battery box up there thing out down the field.
Oh, did you?
And it was for a 12-volt battery. So you see, in other words, it was that much too long.
Yeah.
But what I done, I moved that ground cable, but I put the ground cable back in the same hole that where the ground cable come off of. But what I had to do on this clamp affair thing that holds the battery down, well, I shoved it over past it. And then this other end of that thing has got a hook on it. It hooks up underneath the piece under there, and the battery bolt still goes to the clamp on the cable. In other words, it still got it. There's no way in the world for the battery cable to get off of there. Because I put another bolt in there, but I used a hook bolt to hook into that thing to hold the battery down. It can't slide.
Yeah.
And you see that, them two bolts that I took and bent them, just put them in the vise and bent them like that and made two things out like that. Because
yeah.
I didn't have no bolt long enough to go up through there. It like, every bolt I put up in there was lagging about that much going through the hole.
Oh, really?
So I just took them two bolts, bent them,
well, I don't
made
know
me a hook bolt out of it.
I don't know where a fellow would have them. He would happen to have a bolt that long.
Well, you'd have to get one. You'd have to make it. I had some bolts that what's called all thread bolts.
Yeah.
Bolt was about that long.
Yeah.
And you could cut off as much as you needed.
Yeah. The
only thing I had to do was come in that bottom hole. I took my adjustable wrench, bent that thing up, and put the bolt right up in it with a nut on it. See, that's a brad nut on the bottom of it. Right on up through there. I couldn't find that thing to save my life. I know it's in that garage somewhere or another.
Oh, you couldn't find it?
But I got so much junk in there, I can't find nothing. And I hate to get around and be on fell down on something.
Yeah.
And so I just leave it like that until I get time to... That old big mower sitting in there, it ain't got no business sitting in there. But it's in there.
Yeah.
And I'd have a time getting it out of there. Of course, if I get it out, and the man that it belongs to, he don't act like he wants it. And if he act like he don't want it, I sure keep it. But he gonna bend it for it before he gets it. That's the reason I got it in there.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't put it outside.
Do you do that?
Yeah.
Oh, when you work on them, do they pay you before they take it off?
Yes, sir. I don't let them have it. If you let them have it, they'll do take it off and tear it up.
And that's
and bring it back and give it to
when
you.
They bring it in, that's understood.
That's understood. In other words, he knows it's understood. And I know him, see. He don't pay his bills.
Yeah.
That's the reason he gets by. Now, you take that. I worked on that tractor sometime in October. I told it, in other words, somebody else had a hold to it. And they called themselves overhauling the motor. And they put the rings in there backwards. And every time you crank it up, boy, that thing would smoke up a nasty blowing breeze. Well, I tore that motor all to pieces and put a new set of rings in it and put them in there like they belong.
Yeah.
And you crank it up right now and you run it all day long. It's wide open.
Yeah.
And it'll mow like it's supposed to. You can mow, say your yard out here, you can mow it in an hour. Easy.
Oh, it's got power.
It's got the power. But now it needs two belts on it. But I'm not going to put no belts on it. He can damn me put none on it. In other words, he's had them locked up so many times. Looked like, ain't no telling what it was, wire or something got under there and got in them blades and stopped them from turning, and he just run it right on. And it smoked up a breeze underneath there. Need to take a rubber belt. It burned up for long.
Yeah,
get
hot.
Get hot and burn up. And,
now on that battery, on that little Ford tractor, you even put the on the cable.
And I put a new clamp on it.
Put new clamps on it.
Mm-hmm. I bought two, and of course I said, well, I'll need another one sometime or another. I don't never know when. I had some of them things hanging up there in the garage, and you take whenever I let my son-in-law have a key, which he's all right, but his fingers do stick. And I had quite a few things in there that I didn't want nobody fooling with. Just like that glue. I know it's in that garage somewhere or another, which it may be in his garage. It may not be in mine. But I don't like to let everybody have a key to my garage. And see, the time when I was in the house and I couldn't get out, well, of course, Nola had the key. And any time Donald or Bobby or some of them wanted a wrench, well, they go get the key from their mama and go out there and get it. And never do bring them back.
Now, what about that filter?
I took that filter out of there and cleaned it.
And it hasn't been cleaned?
It ain't never been cleaned.
Why, J.R.? No wonder that tractor sounds the way it does.
Well, I put 8 quarts of Quaker State oil in it and 1 can of STP. And I greased it from one end to the other, and that distributor, I don't believe, ever had any grease. In other words, it shows that little old thing on the side there, you raise it up and take your oil can and squirt oil in. And I squirt oil in, and I squirt it in, and I squirt it in, and after a while, it filled it up. And it had a squeal down there about that distributor.
Well, how much are you supposed to put in that? Do you fill it?
What, that little thing?
That's the distributor, yeah.
Oh, about 3-4 drops.
Ordinarily, that'll do it.
That'll do it. It's got a felt in there. Goes down that pipe. And that felt gets full of oil. And then you just put 2-3 little drops in there about once a month.
Yeah. Well, and it didn't look like it had any.
And he never had none. I don't believe it had. Don't look like it. It's dry as a powder house.
And then down there, the oil pan.
Right there where the breather, know where you put the oil in that. Mm-hmm. It's a place about that long. It seeps out.
Yeah.
Well, I got some of that stuff, and I said, well, if I ever find it, well, the only thing I'd have to do is just loosen up on them bolts right there. And then dry it out good with gasoline, and then take some of that stuff and squirt it in that hole, and then push it in there. You got to push it in there with something, or say your finger. You can take your finger and run across there like that, and it'll push it in that hole. And then tighten the bolts back up on it and let it dry.
Yeah.
That'll stop that.
Well, now, where was it? You took the pan off of something when you drained it.
I took the plug out of the pan.
Yes.
In other words, it's got a plug about that big around.
Yeah.
You take it out with that old big waistcoat. It's got a square affair thing in there about like that. Just put it on it and pull it around. But then whenever you let that thing down, well, it's got a strainer in there about that big around, about that high.
Yeah.
And that thing was nasty born, clogged up with sludge. It had it. And that thing ain't been out in I don't know when. That guy down yonder, he put a quart of oil in it. It had new oil. It looked like new oil to start with. And I took that oil gauge that goes down in the pan, and it had that old black stuff all over it.
Yeah.
And I took it to the emery wheel, and I got a wire brush on there, and I just cleaned it up. Now when you poke it down there to see how much oil you got, you tell how much you got.
Oh, I see.
Before, it was black just like the oil was.
Yeah.
You couldn't tell nothing about it.
Yeah.
I tell you another thing I found out about it too in cranking it. Say for instance, before you even turn the switch on in the morning,
yeah,
say you're gonna crank it.
Yeah.
Well, don't even turn the switch on. Just push your gas down about halfway,
yeah,
and reach and get that choker and pull it out and let it turn over about 2-3 times and then shove the choker back in. Then turn on the switch, step on the starter.
Oh.
It cranked right up. And I've noticed that say for instance you'd be going and the thing stalls down.
Yeah.
Don't try to crank it just as soon as it stalls down.
Oh.
Well, you zoo 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 there a long time.
Yeah.
And then say for instance that when you go to crank it, don't even turn the switch on, just pull your throttle down a little bit and pull your choker out and turn it loose and then turn on the switch and it cranks right up. And them spark plugs, I bet you I could have put a quarter between them gaps. That's just how wide he had them gaps in them spark plugs.
Well, he put in new plugs.
I know he did, but he set them. He set them, and you could take a quarter. You could take the spark plug, the gap, and you could take a quarter and lay it sideways and poke it through there, and it never hit it. That's too far old.
I mean, that's the way he advised when you picked
yes,
it up.
Sir. In other words, I took all four of them spark plugs out of there and set them 18,000. And he had his point 20,000. That's too much. I tell you something I done the other day. The preacher, cook over there, he got a Maricar, I think that's what they call it. It's a Willis affair. Brand new car. And he's headed up there to that place at Ridgeway Motor. I bet he headed up there a dozen times. And it skips on one cylinder. It skips on number two. And they put a new distributor in it. They put a new set of wires in it. They put new spark plugs in it. And it still skips on that number two cylinder. And he had to go at Donald, and Donald looked at it. Donald fooled with it, and Donald told him he'd have to have some kind of little rubber washer that goes on the valve. Said that number two valve was sucking oil and fouling out the plug. That's thunder?
Yeah.
And he come over at the house with me, and I says, preacher, I said, you mean to tell me that you've had two distributors put in this car, and they put new wires and new distributor cap and all this stuff on it. Still skip? Yeah. Said, look at that motor. It's shaking everywhere. Yeah, it's shaking all over the place. And I took the spark plugs out of it and checked it. And all the spark plugs were set just right. And I looked at the wires and what was wrong with them. But what I done, I took all the wires and pulled them up out of the distributor. Just pulled them up. And then I pulled them out by degrees to find out which one was skipping. It was number two. So all the rest of them, I put them back down in the distributor all the way around except that one. That was number two. And I left it sticking out about that far. Just didn't push it all the way down in. I just pushed down just enough that that rubber thing would hold it on. And it would hit just through the other thing. Fire, wasn't a thing in the world wrong with it. But now, what causes that, I don't know unless I found one thing. If that distributor shaft, you can take it and it can be on, won't be on breaking. And you can take that shaft and pull it over to one side and it'll break them points. It's a brand new distributor. And I told him, I said, you just take that thing right back up there to Ridgeway, and you tell him I said to get a brand new distributor and put it on that car.
Oh, I see. That's Ridgeway. That's the way of doing business.
Yeah, they do it like they want to do it.
Yeah.
And I said, you tell him that who said so? What was wrong with it? It's the distributor itself. And I said, that's not a new distributor.
Yeah.
A new distributor will not have no numbers on it.
Well?
He says, well, that man said them numbers are supposed to be on it. I said, they ain't supposed to be on that. Ain't supposed to be nothing on that. The man that puts the new distributor on one is supposed to take the numbers off of that other one and put it on that. I said, I got a little bit of sense. I ain't crazy. And you know, he drove that thing to Tampa and back, and he drove it to Miami and back twice. And that spark plug wire is still right there where I put it. And it hit just as good as you ever seen, run just like a new. And they told him he had to have them little rubber things on the valves. They had to have something else put in there. I said, they ain't got to do such a thing. I said, that's a brand new automobile. And a brand new automobile ain't supposed to be giving that kind of trouble.
Yeah.
I said, I don't like to mess with nobody's car, and I don't like to tell them what's wrong.
Well, there's somebody over there making open that works down there at Ridgeway.
Yeah, that's a fellow by the name of Cruz. That's Ms. Smith. Ms. Smith over there. Andrew Smith's husband.
Yeah.
Cruz. But the thing about it is, he don't know nothing either. You take a man that stays full of liquor all the time, he don't know what he's doing.
Well, let me tell you, there's another fellow there. I don't know Cruz.
You get through? Sure.
The one I know is...
Birch used to work there.
Who?
Birch. Horace Birch.
Oh, I didn't know he ever worked at
Ridgeway. He worked there for about 20 years.
Well, that's where he worked?
Yeah.
Well, no wonder he was a screwball.
Well, he works for Shaw and Keeler now.
Does he?
And since he shot that woman... Shot her all up, shot himself up, tried to kill his own self.
Yeah.
But it didn't work.
So he just went back to work?
He went back to work. He was back at Shaw and Keeter. And you know they didn't do a thing to him about that? He ain't done nothing.
Well,
and they want to claim that he could have killed some of them kids in that bus. Well, I guess he could have. He shot right through that door, that buckshot.
Yeah.
And then shot his own self and went out there in the woods to die, and they went out there and got him and carried him to the hospital. Of course, he's a veteran. These veterans, they don't do nothing to him.
No, there's another fellow over there. He lives, you know, he used to work up there on the campus for a long time. Old Spear.
Oh, that nut, he ain't got sense enough to battle a buzzer. Old Spear?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know him. He goes back with it half done.
Yeah.
You can't put no confidence in him.
Drinks a pint of whiskey, do you?
I don't know about him, but that fella Cruz does.
Well, I mean, Spear, he's out there in front of that, the store one day, and I heard him talking. That's what he said he did.
No, he don't do such a thing. I ain't never heard of him drinking any liquor. Beer either.
Huh?
He just run his mouth.
Spear?
Yeah. He just run his mouth just to be running.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. I ain't
well,
never.
Well, he's been working down there at Ridgeway, is it? He ought to be able
to. Yeah, he worked down there too, but he wasn't in the mechanic line.
No.
He worked up there in the office.
He's servicing them. I didn't know he
No,
could
he
service.
Wasn't no service. He was, he would carry them out when they got through with them.
Oh, I see.
Carry them to the people.
Oh, I see.
He didn't have nothing to do with the mechanic part.
He just run them out. He just errand
yeah,
boy.
He errand boy. That's what he was, errand boy.
Yeah.
That's what he was.
Well, I was surprised. I didn't know he was a mechanic or anything like that.
No, he ain't a mechanic. Can't even fix his own lawnmower. He tore his carburetor off his tractor, the rototiller.
Yeah.
He brought it down and wanted me to put it back together. I told him, I said, listen, you tore it up, you put it back together yourself.
Yeah.
I said, you try to make out like to everybody you know how to do so and so. Well, do it yourself.
Yeah.
Want to know if I'd come up there to his house and fix his rototiller.
Yeah.
I said, no, I sure won't. I said, I ain't lost a thing in your yard. I said, if you bring it down here, I'll fix it. But I said, be sure you got the money ready when I get through.
Well, now old Spears, he saves his money.
Saves his money.
Uh-huh.
He saves his money and his wife spends it. She's a hoodoo.
She spends it on that house.
She's a hoodoo.
She's a hoodoo?
She's a hoodoo. A first class one. In other words, she worships a post out in the yard. Just an old post with some peculiar looking cuttings on it. She's a hoodoo.
Oh, she does?
Yes, sir. She's been that way all her life. You take her younguns, ain't got a bit of use for them. They don't even go to see her. And a lot of people don't know about these people. I know all about them. In other words, you heard about old Kunja doings.
Yeah.
Take a bone and put somebody's name on it, wrap it up in a red cloth and get over and throw it in your yard.
Yeah.
Such stuff as that. That ain't worth 2 cents.
Well, how does she spend his money?
Doctor.
Oh.
There's always something wrong with her.
Always something.
Ain't a thing in the world wrong with her. She get out of that house and go to work. Get out in that yard and work a little bit. She get rid of that.
I never seen her out of the house.
You don't never see her out of the house. She's always in there. And there's always a nigger. A nigger and a poor white trash. She's just continuously tromping in and out, in and out.
Really?
She put a spell on people. She put a spell on me one time.
She can do it.
Nah, sure. I don't believe that crap. I don't believe that stuff. If you believe anything like that, you can get into it.
Yeah.
That'll run you crazy. But if you don't believe it, you can't do nothing about it.
Well, now, I went in there one day, and I noticed that they had remodeled that house.
Mm-hmm.
They put that liner on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've done all them things on the inside.
That thing, that house used to be nothing but a 2x4.
Yeah.
Didn't have nothing on the inside.
Yeah.
And that used to be a first class wreck if I ever seen one. And of course, they made a good house out of it. But all that money that they spent, they're messing with that thing, they could have built 2-3 houses.
Yeah, he don't carpenter.
I don't know what he does.
Well, you know, if he gonna have that thing remodeled, it would pay him, unless he's higher paid than I think he is, it'd pay him to do some of it himself.
Why, sure it would. But he gets fidgety. And she gets to fooling with him, and he picks up and walks off.
He goes around to the bar and has him a beer.
I don't know. I haven't never seen him drink one.
I've seen him go in that little bar over yonder. He'd duck in, you know.
Well, he'd duck in when nobody would see him.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know anything about him myself. So.
Well, I'm just thinking, he works
never
down that Ridgeways, and
I know he messes with the other women, I know that.
Uh-oh.
Calls them up and talks to them.
Is that right?
He made the wrong break one day. He called my house.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, if you ever call him again, I'm gonna kill you. Don't you never call up my wife. Try to make a date with her.
Let me tell you, Jay, could we get in my old car and run around there? I want you to see what these vines is doing. These old vines is doing to them trees. I just want you to look at them.
Well, I know what they're doing to them. I ain't got to go over and look at them.
Well,
what they do, they start off down here and go right around the tree just like
that.
I know it.
That big around.
Of course, when I was
growing, they have close up, glued to the bark.
Yeah, I know how it is. Because, see, I work for state. And when we had a palm tree over there on Waldo Road, that the palm tree looked like me fixing to die.
Mm-hmm.
And that darned old, it's an old oak vine.
Yeah.
And that thing started down at the bottom, and it got around that palm tree, and was doing just like that coming up.
Yeah.
And of course, it had a little old sprig going out the top.
Yeah.
And I went there, and I whacked it right at the bottom.
Yeah.
Down there, whacked it off, place about like that. And did you know it wasn't no time before it was a sprout come out down there, it was trying to get to that other piece.
Yeah.
And of course, we finished digging it out. Now that palm tree just proves the other thing.
Yeah. Well, now, what about that? Now, I don't know one of those vines. I don't know what sort of vine. It's one particular vine that does most of the running.
Well, what you got down there, that old oak vine.
You think
it has no? It has no red flower on it. It has an old red thing on it that looks like poison ivy.
Yeah. I never saw it bloom.
It wouldn't pay us to go down there in your car. I wouldn't put that car down there.
Oh, it's straight. I mean, it's on wagon road.
Mm-hmm.
That old wagon road's in there.
I don't think it'd do us any good to go over. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, now here's another thing I was going to tell you. Now, these up there on the hill there, that's 5 acres. It's all ready to go. That's the heaviest land on the place up there.
Mm-hmm.
The trouble is, it's a little far from the water. You can't get the water to it. Now, out here, this place right out here is not very good land, but it doesn't matter. You could dig that up. It's right there next to that old big old brick water trough.
Mm-hmm.
So you could water that.
Yeah.
And then there's another place down yonder, and there's a place down here. Somebody ought to have some of this land around here, an acre or two, a couple acres, whatever you want, and put in something.
Mm-hmm.
By hell, you can make money on peanuts. You could have sweet potatoes. They don't trouble to raise. Or you could put in a rose, or you put in some peas, or something like that. Well, the only people I see who want to do it is some of these niggas. And the niggas, I don't have any luck working with them.
No, they don't.
They bust up your stuff, and they
mess it up and then don't want to do nothing about it.
They don't do nothing about it. They expect you to have the stuff ready and they just get on it, you see, and
mm-hmm.
go to work.
Yeah.
But they're not reliable, you see. You got to be there all the time. They're
mm-hmm.
there.
Look at that field over there on that side where they planted them peas.
Yeah.
Never picked the first
one. Never picked them. Right.
And I noticed up down on that end, they got turnips growing out there. I see what they've been in there. Looks like me to run a plow right down there by them.
Yeah.
And there's a turnip pin one there and just food. Now listen to that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm looking for Bobby. He's supposed to have been here, but he ain't here yet. My boy.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his wife and them, he fooled around. Wife done told him. So you better get that car inspected. And time you're supposed to. I said, first thing I know, somebody gonna catch you driving that sticker not on there. It's gonna be $35.
Yeah.
Just like I told him. I said, now you done paid $4 one time, $3 another, and $4 again. I said, why in the devil don't you just take that car to Trenton and let that man inspect it? And if there's anything wrong with it, he'll fix it right there.
Right there. I know that man.
That man over at Trenton.
I was over there one
and,
time.
And I says, then you wouldn't be having to make them long trips from Perry over here. I said, that bunch up there, they locked away place up there. I said, they ain't nothing but a bunch of crooks.
That's right.
I don't care my car up there. And I ain't gonna care that truck up there whenever time comes, neither.
I wouldn't either.
I ain't about to. I carried it in that. Now you take, I believe they put the wrong sticker on it when they put it the time that I took it out there. In other words, not due inspection. In April. Now ain't that something? And that's a brand new truck.
Yeah.
That'd be $3.50 or whatever it is again.
Yeah.
For long.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I better go because I'm looking for Bobby in there about dinner time.
Faye got your dinner right here.
Hmm?
Faye got dinner for you right here.
Got cooked already?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what she's saying. She's going to get a little something. J.R., I tell you, this sticker business, now, you don't go to Trenton, do you?
For a sticker?
Yeah.
Yes, sir, I go away anytime.
What about Ocala?
Mm-mm. I know that man's in Trenton.
I see.
I don't care if you got a taillight out.
He'll fix it for you.
He'll fix it or he'll tell you to fix it.
Yeah.
He'll give you that sticker and put on that windshield.
Yeah, and tell you
if your course. Brakes ain't right, he ain't gonna say a word to you.
Just tell you to fix them.
He tell you to fix them, and I seen a man go up there one day and get his truck inspected. Didn't even have a tail light on it. George just told him, said, you just need a tail light on it. Rode him up, put a stick on his windshield, and man drove off. I don't think he still ain't got no tail light.
Well, now, let me tell you, that's the way I think it ought to be. Them little old pewter things, you see, because you can't get by the tail light. Yeah, but, I mean, and you don't need to make a special trip to put a taillight on.
No.
He tell you about it. It's just like the service station telling you you need a taillight.
You got a light. There's a bunch of cars go up yonder, around them niggas that's up there, with a windshield broke. You know good and well that they ain't supposed to put no sticker on there with a windshield broke. But them niggas up there do. And the fenders on the car, the right-hand front fender, it wouldn't even have no light or nothing in it.
Yeah.
No seal beam, no nothing in it. And pass them right on through there.
Pass them on.
How'd they do that? It's a nigger in them.
Yeah.
I think my window's up down in my truck. Let me go see if it is.
Okay.
I think if it rains, it'll rain right in it.
Yeah.
I'll be back.
I like spots. That's what I needed. That's what I wanted to get, something like that. Instead of that old
thank you.
That cloud's all around there.
That's that thunder, I ain't heard none of that in a long time.
If we don't get a little bit of that, I don't know why.
I don't know what's going to happen. We need some of that. That lum a lum a lum sounds good.
Yeah. Put a little something on there. Make it a little slick. We don't want to hold you.
Mm-hmm.
This thing here is like glue sitting
mm-hmm.
on there.
Yeah.
You can't scoot. Jimmy is the one most people mention. Jimmy Welch.
Pinckney, he was a tall fella, and Sarah was that girl. But I ain't seen none of them, and I don't know when. Last time I seen Jimmy Welch was when he was living down at Boardman.
That's
been a long time ago. That's when he was farming. Well, he was taking care of Sampson's Grove.
Oh, I see. That
grove about gone down there.
Oh, yeah. At 57, it just about finished off that
mm-hmm.
grove.
Yeah. Didn't keep it up. And
yeah.
It just went haywire.
Yeah. Oh, Jimmy, he must have been a pretty good man.
Yeah, he's a pretty good fella.
I never hear much about Pinckney. He was he the older one?
He's the old one. He was tall.
Yeah.
Sarah, I don't know what become of her.
She married and moved off to North Carolina.
Way up down somewhere.
Way up there. And finally, Miss Sally went up there with them.
Mm-hmm.
With Sarah. And I think the word got back here so ago that Miss Sally had died.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is something. When I come here, it still had the same old wooden floor in here that come with the house.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk across it and it'll shake.
Vibrate.
So, we got under the house and put some concrete blocks under it, kind of
stabilize
it a little bit. And then we put this, we put some plywood down and then put this floor tile
mm-hmm.
down. And over there by the stove, we had to take that out. It had, it was wore so thin, the board was wore thin down into the groove,
mm-hmm.
into the, them flooring grooves.
Yeah.
Where Miss Sally had gone over there and reached down and put in a pan of biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard old Fred Wood talk about eating over here. See, he grew up with Jimmy. And,
yeah, I know he did.
Pinckney.
They live right over there.
Yeah, they live the second house up
mm-hmm.
there. And I took one of them boards out there that wore so, and I nailed it up on that shed. I don't know whether it's still there or not. You can't keep anything.
Mm-hmm.
You forget where you put it. It was wore thin.
No, I'm just like, if I don't get any better than what I am, well, I think I'll go down and apply for my Social Security. In other words, Dr. Sam told me that it'd be a long time before I got well.
That knee is just you're gonna have to live with it?
That's what way he talked. Well, a man told me to do something yesterday that I didn't believe. In other words, I had on them short pants. I went and got that soybean for cows.
Yeah.
And I mean to tell you, whenever I went to put it on that knee right there, there's a place right there that just nasty boy would run me nuts.
Oh, I wouldn't take the weight.
Hmm? And I put that stuff on my leg and I rubbed it in right there, and that place ain't hurt me since.
You put that absorbing?
Yeah. And now, like today, of course, sun ain't shining today, but I like to lift my leg yesterday. sitting out there in that sun.
Yeah.
Cause my legs is all up here on top of just as red last night as they could get.
You didn't put any grease or anything on?
No, just put that soybean on it.
Yeah.
And what I supposed to have done is when I put that on, I then take some hot water and a towel.
Oh yeah.
And wrap it up.
Oh yeah.
But I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
In other words, I got a little gas stove out there in the garage. I'm going to heat me some water.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get out there in that garage. That's stuff, and that is the stinking stuff I've seen in my life.
Yeah.
And I got a shirt that's just full of it, where I rubbing my leg with it, and it got on my sleeve.
Yeah.
And my wife told me last night to throw that darn thing out of the yard. I don't want to smell that. And I told her, all right, so I put it out in the garage.
You mean it holds that smell,
that smell? Man, it holds it. I ain't giving it. So I get out in that garage and take that towel, and whenever I put that stuff on my leg, well, and take that hot towel and wrap it up. That's what's supposed to sink it in there.
Yeah.
And, but I can tell the difference from yesterday that my legs are a whole lot better. And down in my foot, it don't hurt no more. And I just naturally born believe it's that boot he put on there. It had two places in it that it was binding.
Yeah.
And it acted like there were two blisters fixing to come down. In other words, that's the main thing he didn't want done was a blister come on that leg.
Oh, yeah.
And that's one reason I seen that place in there, so I took it off.
Yeah.
Now, you take them pain pills that I took is wearing off. But the thing about it is I got two more out there in the truck, so if I have to have them, I can go get them. I won't take but one. It'll last 3 hours.
But you take them on with you.
I carry some of the stuff out there.
I would too. That's what they're for, as a brother said.
Yeah. In other words, that's the only way I can get any relief.
Pain pills don't hurt you so much, except you get so they don't affect you too much, you know?
Well, the only time they hurt me is when it makes me feel like I'm sick on my stomach.
Yeah.
And I can't take no aspirin.
I can't either.
Man, I can't touch them things. Them things make me sick right now.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. And see, I ain't never been in the habit of taking no medicine no how.
No. Well, that's the trouble with people who've been so damn healthy, you see, all their life. You never had any trouble.
I ain't never had no trouble.
You never been to the hospital and us to speak of?
I had a operation on both heels about 15 years ago for spurs, and I still believe that the spur on this right foot over here is coming back.
Yeah.
I can feel something down there.
Yeah.
Right in that same spot where they took that spur out, see?
Hey, it's going to get dark. We're going to have to light the lamp.
Yeah. Sure is.
That old lumma 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 fuss back in there sounds good.
It sure does.
I ain't heard that in a long time.
No. If it just leave us an inch or two, it sure wouldn't make a difference.
It sure would.
You don't have much help over there.
Where's that?
Over at your house.
Help?
Yeah. You don't have any help gardening or anything like that?
I do it myself. But I ain't got no garden down there yet. But you're going to have one. Noah told me to fix those Irish potatoes today, and she'd plant them this afternoon if she ain't gonna plant them. But it'd be raining.
Well,
and I took my little tractor and went down in my little disc and bedded me up some potato rows.
Oh, did you?
In other words, I just figured out one way to go. And then I had two discs on that didn't belong on it.
Yeah.
And what them two discs would do is bed it up.
Yeah.
And I just went right down it that way and come back the other way, and I got some mounds down there about that high.
Oh, really?
Man, I got some good ones down there. Got about 5 or 6.
Yeah. But
you know, you can't get a hold of no red bliss seed.
Oh, is that right?
You can't get none but white.
Good Lord. So you just got to take what you can get?
Just got to take what you can get.
And you like the red ones?
I like any kind.
Yeah.
But I ain't supposed to eat neither one.
Say, why won't he let him eat Irish potatoes?
About that,
got starch in it. I ain't supposed to eat no Irish potatoes. See, they got starch in them.
Well, I thought you'd eat iced potatoes instead of bread.
Well, you can. You need iced potatoes. I have a baked potato every once in a while.
Well, that's what I was thinking about, really. Baked potatoes, yeah.
And meat, in other words, meat, either you can't fry it, you have to put it in the oven and bake it. So you can put it on a grill and grill it.
You know, we used to have these fellas that come around and make the garden for you, J.R., but that's been a long time, hasn't it?
That's been a long time.
A long time.
Long time. Well, man, Cobb's got two good rows of turnips and mustard down in his garden.
Has he?
Yeah, I plowed his garden up while I was plowing.
Yeah.
A little piece there off to one side. That must be a little bit bigger than this room here.
Yeah.
It's still on my land right on. He don't know it, but it's still on mine. But he wanted it tore up, so I tore it up.
Yeah.
I had some of these old what's called nigger lilies down there, and I dug them up. He thought they were sweet potatoes.
Oh, did he?
That's what he thought they were, but I told him, I said, no, they ain't sweet potatoes. They're my old nigger lilies. Bugs. I had little lily bugs.
Yeah.
But you know, I had some, there's a drain down there. I got an artesian well behind the garage.
Yeah, here's this spray man.
Well,
you think we can?
He won't bother us.
Okay.
You want me to spray that, or I can come back to work?
He don't have to spray in here.
Are you going
to
be here behind
you?
I got an artesian well around there behind the garage. I dug it with a piece of pipe. Took a piece of inch, 3/4 inch pipe.
Yeah.
And just took a water hose and put it on the end of it.
Yeah.
I got a thing down there about 180 feet.
Is that right?
And first thing, the water began to come up. So then I capped it.
Yeah.
Keep it from coming out, but there's a certain amount of it's coming out somewhere. And right down below it, below the garden down there, there's a container, so a little bit of stream of water. Coming up down there.
Oh, is
it? And I thought, well, I'd leave it alone. And then whenever I got that pond dug out, well, I'd turn it loose.
Yeah.
Take that cap off up there and turn it loose.
Yeah.
Might have me a good well there, I don't know.
Oh, what do you know?
There's one out there on Payne Square that's been running for, I know it's been running 50 years or more.
Oh.
They just drove it down in. First thing you know, water started coming out of it. That's when they was putting that old, what's called the old Rochelle Road through there.
Yeah.
It's right there next to that canal.
Yeah.
But that water give you the headache.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can drink a couple of glasses of it, and first thing you know, you got a headache that won't wait. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds good, don't it?
It sounds good. Yeah. It's just keep on
I believe it's coming. I still do.
I tell you, it's been a long time.
It's been a long time since we had any.
Mm-hmm. I haven't messed around. What do you think, man?
I just say you can see how fast it changed. That sun was out this morning.
I noticed them clouds that was coming up this morning. They didn't look too good.
Yeah.
And that wind was blowing. Man, it blowed some good ones one time this morning.
Yeah.
I saw the truck pass by out there and looked out there, one thing but the wind. The wind was whipping everything.
Yeah. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I went out, it was pretty strong when I went out first, and you know, the wind gives me the croup and everything else. I don't know why it is, but I used to like the wind. But now, I get
stove
up in the wind.
I do.
I have to stay out of that wind.
You that car that was out there? You that car was out in the road?
Yeah.
He got him a ticket for $35.
Oh,
not parking that car off the road. Man got him yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, I see it gone there this morning.
Oh, the car's gone?
Yeah, they come got it last night.
But he got the ticket too.
He got the ticket for $35.
How'd you know?
Boy, he got mad. He told my wife about it. He tell me about it yesterday. They found out where he was at. Up at that school, Idle Wild School where Noah works at.
Yeah.
They went up there and told him, said, give me a ticket for $35. Said, you better get that car over that road. You don't mean me. Don't want to be there in the morning.
And he told Noah what happened.
Yeah, he told Noah, and he got mad as the devil because the man fined him $35. Well, he had no business leaving that car sticking out there in the road like that. Everybody come along had to go around it.
Yeah.
There's just about that much of it sticking out in the road.
Well, yeah, that's enough.
And then another thing, just like I told him last night, I told him, I said, there ain't one thing happen if somebody come along there and hit it. I said, you'd have been to blame. It's sticking out down the road.
It looked like it.
And I said, I know you ain't got no insurance. No, I sure ain't. I said, well, you better get some.
He sure has.
You better get some. You ain't got none of you. But now, whenever you go to get a tag,
yeah,
you got to show that you got insurance.
Yeah.
Sure.
If you ain't got none, well, you don't get no tag.
Well, when they give you a ticket, they always look at your papers and see
mm-hmm.
if what you've got.
That's right.
So you haven't got a chance, have you?
You got no chance.
You can't beat the racket?
Well, I tell you, there's so many that is beating the racket, though. There's so many of them that has got by with this junk.
You think
you
so?
Take an automobile, if you can't drive it from here to Mechanopin back without it breaking down, you ain't got no use for it.
No. And the stuff like that on the road?
Yes, sir. There's plenty of them on the road like that. Good looking car.
You know, Mac Weaver, he's a friend of mine. And somebody gave him that old car, that mm-hmm. old Ford car. And you know the front end? The wheels are just like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, when he goes to get a tag and when he goes to get it inspected.
They got it. They inspected it just like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And give a tag. He didn't give it to him, but they give it to the fella before.
Mm-hmm.
So.
When Weaver boys wanted to give him that old car. That's one that old Buck Weaver had.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't know that.
The old Weaver boys wanted got the sticker for him and got the tag.
Oh, I see.
But they gonna pin down on that now, though.
Yeah.
I know plenty of them that go down the road and the front wheels just still wobbling, just
yeah.
red.
Well, I told him I'd fix it for him, or help him get it fixed, you see. And he brought it over here, and the fella was going to charge him $100, and he thought that was outrageous.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't outrageous when he wants $250 for one of them dogs he's got, did he?
No. Can he get that for one of them dogs?
Yes, sir, he sure can. I don't know how good his dogs is, but he sure get it.
Yeah.
These dog guys, they're crazy about them dogs.
Well, hell, if he can do that, he can afford to fix that car,
well,
can't
he? Sure he can. Sure he can.
I have no idea what it costs. What he could get for it.
He'll take his old lawnmower, and he'll mow around that place, and he's still in picking up what he hit. He'll leave it there. It's a big old piece of iron. He'll leave it right there. Then first thing you know, the grass grows over it, and he'll mow it, and run into it, and hit it again.
Yeah.
And bend the blade all up.
Yeah.
And expect me to put a blade on it for nothing.
Well, he's known you a long time.
Yeah.
I imagine you could do a right smart work for nothing, J.R.
Oh, yeah, I could do it.
Let me tell you what happened. I was out there, you know Jack Hilton?
Heron,
yes. You know where he lived with that little woman, he one eye that he married. Don't you know you go out there to
he don't live out there no more.
No, you know where it was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right across the road from there, I don't know who the fellow was living there. But I was out there to see Jack one time. He wasn't there. And I went over there to ask the man where it was. And while I was standing there talking to him, I looked up, and you know what I saw?
Was that gag here?
No. I saw that flue that you put on there for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of new. It had been 2 or 3 years, I guess. It was new, and the thing that struck me about it was, it was just what he needed, you see. It is just, I got all this old pipe here. I don't need all that. All I need is what you put in out there.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that pipe there.
No, except there's more than you need.
No, you got this, you ain't got enough up there. There ought to have been about two more joints up there.
Oh, a little higher?
Yeah, a little higher.
Let's make it draw better.
Mm-hmm.
Was that fella? Who was that fella? He said you put it on that for him. I said, well, he's lucky to get you to do it. I hadn't seen you doing anything like that for a long time. He talked right well. I haven't been back.
I don't even remember who that's at.
Right across the road, you see, and his house was, you see, the hill went down just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right across the road from where Jack lived. Jack didn't own that house. I guess he rented it for somebody.
Could be. I don't know. I don't even remember what he did yet. I've had so many pain pills here lately, I ain't got good sense.
Well, I haven't got good sense, and I haven't had any.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he gave up his foam rubber.
I tell you, it's kind of hard to sit on, Faye, unless you got something on that where you can scoot. You see, you stick, and you can't.
Yeah, well, I've got to cover it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got to cut it, shape it, and cover it. Don't you think so?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We're going to eat
a
bite?
Yeah, I'm going to fix us a little something.
I'm getting ready to...
Nola said you could eat most... No. Nola said you could eat most anything. I don't know now.
Well, I eat just about anything.
We
I
just
take an ocean to eat.
We just ought to have cheese and fruit and stuff like that.
Hmm.
Got some.
Just eat what we can get.
Yes, sir. Eat what we can get around here.
Had a good garden, now you can get most anything out of it.
No, good, whatever it is.
Yeah. We've been getting collards and greens and turnips up until this last week. And that's one reason I checked down the store.
Yes.
And we haven't been able to get any. We've been just eating cabbage and greens and all that stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't been from old knee. I done had me some mustard and turnips. But Mr. Cobb planted them two rows down there. He said whenever they got ready, well, we'd eat them. And by the time his is gone, mine will be in then.
Now, if you feel more comfortable with your shoes off, you take them off.
Yeah, it's all right now.
Well, you do that.
Well, about the end of Channel 1 over, and a continuation of the visit with J.R. at lunch this Tuesday, and rainy Tuesday morning, the 19th of February, 74. Channel 1 right around 1700, 1800, almost to the end, this rainy Tuesday morning, the 19th of February, 74. Channel 1 right, almost to the end, this rainy Tuesday morning, the 19th of February, 74.